Well, I want to talk today out of this feast of the baptism of the Lord. I want to begin by showing my age a little, and if I were to ask you young people if you'd ever heard of a group called Simon and Garfunkel and a song called Bridge Over Troubled Water, I'd probably get two blank stares, right? And, you know, it's funny, it'll happen to you too. You think you're young and hip and you know what's going on, and all of a sudden you start mentioning stuff that people never heard of. And you know you're on to your dotage. And that's... But you remember that song, it said, you know, like a bridge over troubled waters. And it's a beautiful song. It's basic message is a beautiful message, which is that we all need at times in our life somebody to help us get through the troubles of this life. Amen? However, I want to say, and I'm kind of being persnickety when I say this, only to make the point. It's really not good advice. It's not biblical advice, anyway, to build a bridge over troubled waters. Because the old spiritual really gives the better advice. And the spiritual says, wade in the water, children, because God's gonna trouble the water. You don't build a bridge over troubled waters. You wade into the troubled waters. Now, why is that? And again, because every time God troubles the waters, there's a blessing that comes. You see, we think of troubled waters only in terms of their danger and the fear that they cause, but God, whenever in the Bible He troubles the waters, I promise you, there's always a blessing on the other side. There just is. So my advice to you is, lovely though the old song is, don't build a bridge over troubled waters, as if you could, but rather wade in to those waters. But if you do wade in, just make sure you wade in behind Jesus. And you'll see how that works now. So let's take a look at this feast with that kind of image in mind, of wading into the troubled waters. And the first question that I almost always get when people hear that Jesus was baptized is, why did he have to be baptized? He didn't have sin. And the answer is, not for his sake, but for ours. Because in wading into the waters, Jesus troubled those waters to make them a blessing for us. Now, let me read to you from somebody who lived a long, long time ago, young folks, and his name is St. Maximus the Confessor. How would you like to have a name like guys like Maximus? Right? Maximus, otherwise known as Max. But here's what Maximus says about Jesus going into the waters. He links it back to an event in the Old Testament where the people went through the Red Sea. Now, you all remember that story, right? I hope. St. Maximus says, I understand the mystery of Jesus being baptized as this. Just like the column of fire went before the sons of Israel through the Red Sea so that they could follow on their brave journey, the column went first through the waters to prepare a path for them who would follow. And so now Christ does all these things. Really, it was he who was that column of fire, and he went through the sea before the sons of Israel. And so now, in the column of his body, he goes through the waters of Jordan, for before his Christian people, he makes a pathway through the waters and strengthens the footsteps of our faith through the bath of baptism. So, in effect, the Lord goes through those waters in the column of his body, just like the column of fire went through the waters of the Red Sea and made them part like a wall on either side. The Lord troubled those waters and the Red Sea, and now at the River Jordan, the Lord troubles the waters again, this time for us. So let's look at some of the ways that God troubles the waters in the Bible, and let's learn how there's a blessing on the other side. Now, this is how the Bible works, young people, so pay attention. And not some of you who aren't so young anymore, pay attention. The Bible has this very consistent theme. So let's go right back to the very beginning. I mean, the very, very beginning, the opening words of Genesis. It says that the earth was a formless void and waters covered the earth. And it says that the Holy Spirit of God breathed on the waters and made them a wellspring of life. And so God troubled those waters. And what happened? They started to teem with life and come together. Amen? And then God said, well, I need to make dry land for my people to live on. So guess what? God said, he troubled the waters again, said, this far, but no further. And he made dry land for us. Are you praying with me? So what happens? There's dry land. Now that's a blessing. I want to tell you. If you're out at sea and you see dry land, you say, whoo, hey, thank you, Lord, all right? We need some dry land on this earth, all right? Because if it's all water, we're in trouble. So again, God troubled the waters and made land. And those lands began to teem with growth and vegetation, and then the animals and all of us eventually come to be. So again, praise the Lord. When God troubled the water, there came a blessing of dry land. Amen? Now, we also see that things got pretty wicked on the earth. We were kind of making a mess out of the place. And you ever make such a mess out of your room, young people, that your mother finally just has to come in and take over and just clean it all out for you? Now, she shouldn't have to do that, should she? Well, guess what? We made such a mess out of this planet that God our Father had to come and wash it clean. And God troubled the waters and he made a flood. And he floated Noah and his family to safety. But he flooded this earth to cleanse it from all the sinfulness. And so in troubling the waters, God brought forth a beautiful image, if you will, of baptism. The first thing that baptism does for us is that it cleanses of our sins. Amen? And so God cleansed the earth. He troubled the waters, cleansed the earth, and made a new beginning of innocence. Now that's the, so we start to see this. Now, let's go with me now back to the Red Sea again. Here's another example where God troubles the waters. Now here's the story, most of you remember it. For 400 years, the people of Israel were enslaved in Egypt. And God said, I'm going to set my people free. And he sent Moses. Just cutting to the end of the story where we need to be now, Moses finally leads them to the shores of the Red Sea. And suddenly they find out that Pharaoh and the armies have changed their mind and they're coming after to put them back into slavery. They got Pharaoh behind them. They got the Red Sea in front of them. They're in trouble, amen? But God said to Moses, take that staff in your hand and trouble those waters. Trouble them. And it parted like a wall on one side and a wall on the other. Look at the walls of these church, young people. Think of that like two walls of water standing off to either side. And so God troubled those waters. Now they go forth and they move through. They got the wall. What, would you have done that? If you saw water 30, 40 feet up, and you were told to go through the middle of it, would you? Right? It's terrifying when you think about it, isn't it? It took a lot of faith to walk through. But again, remember, the pillar of fire went on ahead of them and showed them the way. And so God troubled the waters. And they came out. They started on one side. They were slaves. And they came through on the other side as free children of God. So you start to see baptism cleanses us of our sins, but it also gives us freedom. We were slaves to sin, and now through the waters of baptism, the troubled waters, we go through and we become no longer slaves to sin, but free children of God. That deserved a hallelujah. Now, guess what though? They're in the desert. Now they got too much dry land, and they need some water. And so God once again said, Moses, go to that rock and trouble the waters in it. Trouble them. And out came refreshing water for them in the desert. That deserved a hallelujah. And so we're also taught that in baptism, not only are we cleansed of our sins, and not only were we taken out of slavery and into freedom, but we're also given the refreshment of God's grace. God refreshes us with grace to help us to get through this desert. Because we got a desert to get through. You might as well just say amen. Amen. So once again, there's this vision that they're in the desert and they come to another place and there is water, but it's bitter, bitter water. And God says, Moses, go trouble that water. Go on and trouble it by throwing some gopher wood into it, and that bitter water will become sweet and drinkable. And so Moses troubles the water, and out comes clean, fresh, beautiful, sweet water. And that's what God does for us in baptism too. Some of us, I'm just going to say some of us, are bitter. Bitter. But God sweetens us up. So again, baptism. Let's look at all these gifts that we're getting, just because every time God troubles the water, there comes out a gift. First of all, there comes life. Secondly, there comes, if you will, cleansing from sin. Thirdly, there comes, you go out of slavery and into freedom. There comes the refreshment of grace and the removal of bitterness to make us sweet. I said sweet. Somebody say sweet. That reminds me of a joke. Maybe I shouldn't tell it. But there was a young lady who went to pray, and she said, "Lord, give me a kind heart. Lord, give me a pure heart. But above all, give me a sweet heart." All right. Now, they're in the desert, and they finally come through the desert, and they're ready to go into the promised land. But the problem is the River Jordan is swollen and flowing swiftly, and they can't get across the river to get into the promised land. And so God says, "Tell those priests to take the ark up on their shoulders, and as soon as their toes touch the water, that water will part and you walk on into the promised land." So in other words, what did he say? "Joshua, you tell those priests to take up that thing and trouble the water. Trouble that water." And it parted, and they walked on into the promised land. Now, guess what? Our promised land isn't some piece of property over in the Holy Land. Our promised land is up in heaven. And so the waters of baptism are troubled, and we walk on in to the promised land. Oh, church, do you see all the blessings? Every time God troubles the water, there comes out a blessing. First, it's life. Secondly, it's cleansing. Third, we come out of slavery and into freedom. Next, we see that we're given the refreshment of grace. We see that we go from being bitter to being sweet. And finally, the waters are troubled the last time we walk on into the promised land. Not a bad tally, amen? Do you start to see how the Bible works, y'all, young people? The Bible teaches us that God troubles the waters, and that we need to learn to wade in to those waters so that God can bring out these blessings in our life. Amen? So, today, Jesus is at the River Jordan. And he troubles the waters again. He just troubles them. He walks on in. Waters move around him. And those waters become a blessing for us. Now, there's one last place I'm going to tell you where the Lord troubled the waters. And it's the same water that you'll find in these holy water fonts and in our little tanks in the back where you can get some and take it home. It says in the Bible that Jesus was on the cross and he died. And they pierced his heart with a sword. And there came out blood and water. You know, those waters of his own body got troubled. And out came those troubled waters, and came with them every good and perfect gift, every blessing. And that water, every time a priest blesses the water of a holy water font, it's linked to the water that came out of the side of Jesus. That isn't just any old tap water. That now, because of the blessing that the church gives, links it to that water that came out of the side of Christ. Are you praying with me, church? Troubled waters bring us healing and grace and strength and mercy and heaven itself. Oh, hallelujah. Today we're celebrating the feast of the baptism of the Lord. Do you see all the different gifts that come? Every time that God troubles the waters, I said he troubles them, but there comes out a blessing. So comes back to the theme. Every time, remember, don't build a bridge over troubled waters as if you could, but rather, wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. God's gonna trouble the waters. A lot of blessings, amen? Now, the gospel goes through these same things all as well. Let me just say them real quickly, because we've pretty much covered them already. But there's four basic gifts that Jesus goes in those waters and gets for us. And I'll just list them, and like I say, hopefully you'll start to say, hey, we've already covered them all. We've already covered them all, but he gives us four gifts: access, anointing, acknowledgement, and approval. And here they are, access. It says here, when Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened. I said, the heavens were opened. That's like the ice cream store being opened. And then some, right? Look, do you understand the heavens had been closed? Now, not because God was mad. The heavens were closed because we could not tolerate the presence of God. We would melt like wax before him. And so God says, they can't be in my presence. They heard God coming and they hid. They knew better. They could not endure his presence. But now, through the blood of Jesus and the washing of baptism, we now, the heavens are open, and we can now begin a journey back to our Father and endure his presence. Not by any merit of ours, but only by his grace. He washes us clean. And I tell you, the first gift of baptism is access, if you will. If you will, the heavens are open. We now have, if you will, a path back to God. And the second gift that's given to us is anointing. It says the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus and came upon him like a dove. That's the Holy Spirit, the anointing that Jesus gets for us. Now what is, I don't have time to give you a whole sermon, that waits till Pentecost on the Holy Spirit, but here it comes. The Holy Spirit is the life of God, is the love of God, is the glory of God, is the wisdom of God, is the mercy of God, is the beauty of God, is the very inner life of God. And that Holy Spirit comes to live in you like a temple and change you. Amen? So you receive this incredible gift. The heavens are open. There's access. There's an anointing because the Holy Spirit comes down upon you and lives like a temple. And not only that, there becomes now acknowledgement. The Father cries out from the heavens. He says, this is my beloved Son. My beloved Son. And so, when you were baptized, heavens were open. You started to have access. A mansion starts to get built for you. The Holy Spirit comes to live in you like a temple, and you might not have heard it, but all the angels did. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter. You became a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With all the rights to come in and out of your Father's house. Amen. And so we see that there is not only access, the heavens are open, anointing, the Spirit comes down, but also now, this, if you will, acknowledgement. You're my son, you're my daughter. And then the final gift that Jesus gets is, you're my son, you're my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. There's something that we say in baptism that comes, it's called sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is that grace that makes us holy. You can't do it, I can't do it, but God makes us holy. He sanctifies us. And in baptism, we're given this beautiful, beautiful gift to be pleasing to God. Now you say, but wait a minute, what about my sins? And what? Yes, I got that. And you know I preach a lot on sin. This isn't one of those days to dwell a lot on that, but I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing that can veto these gifts, and that's your no. Just don't say it. I said, just don't say it. Now, we're all going to struggle with sin to the day we die, but God will bring us into increasing perfection so that we are sanctified and pleasing to him at every level. He will do it because he loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can say no to his love, but he'll still keep loving you. He's never going to stop loving you. He's always going to say, you are my son, you are my daughter. I'm asking you to find your way back to my house. I'll give you every grace I can give you. At the end of the day, though, it is your choice. And that's why there's a hell, not because God is mean or these beautiful promises are vetoed, but simply because we walk away from them. And so it is today, incredible gifts are given to us. We've seen how every time that God troubles the water, there comes out a blessing. An incredible blessing. We see all these blessings. Now, I'm not going to tell you there isn't trouble. Troubled waters are troubled waters. But if you will have the courage to, even though you see water like a wall on either side, still have the courage to walk through and know that God will take care, I promise you a blessing on the other side. I say, I promise you a blessing on the other side. Today, Jesus Christ troubles the waters. And I tell you, wade in the water, children. Don't build a bridge over it, as if you could. Wade in the water, children. God's going to trouble the waters. And I promise you, I say I promise you, a blessing on the other side.